إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about the looking at going back to the basics and looking at the basics, and I mentioned to you what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said about human beings in general, about the world in general, where He said, "Inna al-insana lafi qusr," wal-asr. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي قُسْرٍ. And we talked about three aspects of that, of how the world as we know it today is in a state of loss, and we ourselves, people of this world, we accept and acknowledge that we are in a state of loss. I want to mention two more things to complete that discussion before we go to the solution that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala proposed and told us about. And those two things are, one is the issue of finance. We live in a world which has a failed financial system. And I'm not even talking about from the Islamic angle of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala having prohibited interest and so on and so on. I'm saying this financial system that this world has, which is a debt equity system, is a system which is failed and which has always failed. The history, financial history of the world, if you take it from a point of sort of global finance, I'm not talking about barter systems or local money, but from the time banking started, if you look at it, it's like the ECG of somebody with serious heart trouble, you know, peaks and troughs, up and down, up and down, up and down. You get a Great Depression in the 30s, you get another depression. Last one we had was, 3 years ago. Why? It's completely nonsensical statement. And if you ask somebody, why do you keep getting these depressions? Why is there a periodic financial collapse? Obviously, the system is one of two things. Either system is wrong, or the system is skewed where somebody is benefiting when there is a depression. And that is actually the truth. So here we have a financial system which doesn't work, which is in shambles. Poverty is at an all-time high. This country is number one in terms of absolute poverty in the world. Now forget all the hype that we read and see on television. This country is, actual statistics from Oxford, this country is number one in terms of absolute abject poverty in the world. The next country is Nigeria, which is 50% of this country. So we are 50% ahead of Nigeria in terms of poverty. And that you're talking about, Saharan Africa. So in terms of money as well as distribution of that money, of the banking systems, we have a situation where we are in a state of global collapse. Add to that the situation where the World Bank figures, which were all of what I'm telling you are published figures, they are available in the public space. It's not nothing, no secret information that I've got. 62 people, I mean, this is so strange that if somebody actually, I sometimes when I read this thing, I thought that if someone made a film where 62 people owned more assets than 50% of the world population, which give or take a few million here or there, you're talking about 3.3 billion or 3.5 billion people. 62 people own more assets and more wealth than 3.5 billion people in the world. If I made a film about this, you would say this is nonsense, this is fantasy, it's impossible. This is actual reality. To give you a perspective on that, a bus, a regular bus has 65 seats, including the driver's seat. So we are talking about a bus and there are still 3 seats vacant. So 62 people in this world today own more assets than 50% of the world population. And as I said, this is not my opinion, these are published figures. Anyone wants to, I'll send you the link. Go read it. This is success. This sounds like success to you. This is such a failure that it is almost in the realm of, or not even almost, it is in the realm of fantasy. I mean, you can say that this can't be true, except that it is true. So this is as far as the financial state of the world is concerned. So poverty, the gross, lack of improper distribution of wealth, and so therefore all avoidable problems. I mean, all of this. If 62 people have that much of wealth, obviously that wealth can be shared with the rest of the world without impoverishing those people. I mean, you can still afford your BMWs or whatnot, but at the same time, other people do not have to starve. So why are they starving? So is it a distribution issue or is it a compassion issue? And that's where we'll come to إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and how that applies to the to this world and this life, inshallah, we'll talk about that. But let us first define the problem. So therefore, we have, as far as wealth distribution is concerned, which includes, of course, poverty, this is the situation. Same situation, I can give you figures after figure. I'm addicted to statistics, so I can give you figure after figure after figure of, for example, distribution of food. There are the amount of food, bread alone, that is thrown away, literally trashed in the garbage, is enough to feed the entire continent of Africa. The bread that is thrown away in Europe, I'm not talking about the entire Europe, I'm talking about one or two major cities that is thrown away. And it's not a question of saying all these white men are bad. It's not a question of white and bad. It is just a straightforward situation of lack of compassion and understanding. We have any number of situations where, for example, wheat was in America, there was a overproduction of wheat. So to keep the wheat, global wheat price stable, what do they do? They dump it in the sea. Now you might say, well, you know, why not just, if you're dumping it, why not dump it in some country where people are starving? Go throw it there, you know, let people eat it. No, you got to dump it. In Europe, in England, and in also other countries in the Netherlands, for example, Holland and so on, farmers are paid. They are actually paid so much per hectare to keep their fields fallow, not to till their fields, not to produce crops. They are paid to not produce. Why? Because you don't want, agricultural production has become extremely efficient, so that you do not want more agricultural produce because it will bring down the price of food. This is the logic in a world where people are dying of starvation. This looks like success to you. So is Allah right or wrong? Innal insana lafi khusr? Correct or not correct? You are paying people, you are actually paying people to produce less food in a world where starvation is a major, major, major issue. As I said, not my opinion, go look up the numbers. This, all of what I am telling you is published data. There is nothing new about this. Last point, and probably most important, is the basis on which leadership is chosen. Today, illa mashallah, we have a situation globally, across countries, across cultures, where the worst of our people are our leaders. The worst, you can see it. Who is the worst person? That person is the president or the prime minister or the head of this organization. Our worst people are our leaders, and the joke is, this is supposed to be a democracy. Which means that these leaders did not get there by force. They did not get there by military power. They were elected. They were given those leadership positions by the people who now suffer having them there. So we have this great system of government which we can't stop talking about, which is called democracy. Plato in 1,000 years before, in the Greek republics, Plato wrote and said that democracy is a failure. He said the best form of government is a dictatorship. Yeah? I mean, I'm not debating Plato's point, but I'm just saying that we have a so-called democratic system, and I'm just sort of briefly thinking about it, I think except for Canada today, there is not one single country which has a political leader which you can look up to and say, well, you know, here is a good person, I think we should. No, not one. Not one single country. Muslim, not Muslim, makes no difference. Everyone is, all our leadership is literally, they say, the in a cesspit, the biggest lumps rise to the top. And I think that is what has happened as far as leadership is concerned. Yeah? The worst of the people are their leaders. Why? I can understand if somebody says, you know, this person became a leader because now we have military power, he came and usurped the thing and he's sitting on the throne and what can I do? No, these are people who were elected. This is our leadership. And this is across the board. There are no exceptions, illa mashallah. We might find one or two small things. Other than that, this is across the board. This is the situation as far as leadership is concerned. So this world is in a very, very serious mess. Now, add to all of this, like any system, the system reinforces itself. The system is self-sustaining. Any system, no matter how bad it is, in this world also, there are people who benefit from it. So there are people who are benefiting from poverty. There are people who are benefiting from despair. There are people who are benefiting from sickness. Take drugs, for example. Drugs are produced and then they are not distributed and they are not given in countries where those diseases or those illnesses are there, because they say the people are too poor to pay for it, so we can't give it. There's no time here for in the Fajr matter, but read up the Arvind Eye Hospital in Madurai. Read up their history and they will show you the lens which they use for cataract surgery. The WHO, World Health Organization, statement when the lens was created was that it would be irresponsible to give this lens in a country like India which cannot pay for it. And at that time the lens price was, they were doing it at about $300. Arvind Eye Hospital took up the challenge, they started manufacturing the lens and they eventually got the lens price down to $2. So it tells you what kind of a margin you are talking about in terms of lens manufacture for people who it means a difference between blindness and being able to see. This is our world today. Right? So sorry to make it depressing, but that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. And so I say, let me give you the data to support the ayat of the Quran. The ayat of the Quran does not need any support from me or anybody else, but just so that we understand that it's not just a matter of belief to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Innal insana lafi khusr. So yeah, we are in loss. No, it's not a belief. This is actual reality for anyone who has the interest and the ability to do some little bit of reading. You can know all of this for yourself to say that we are in a colossal mess. There is no two ways about it. And we are in a mess in every single aspect that you can think about. We are in a financial mess. We are in a mess as far as governments are concerned. We are in a mess as far as education is concerned. We are in a mess as far as healthcare and poverty and food production. In every single aspect of life, we are in a colossal mess. How to get out of that, inshallah, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the solution and we will look at that. Meanwhile, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets us out of this and be prepared to make changes in ourselves, because that is where it starts. Everything begins with ourselves, not somebody else. We ask Allah for us for the strength and the ability to do that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.